Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.
Welcome to the Marriage and More Podcast with your hosts, Sterling and Soretta Smith, where they talk about love, life, marriage, and a whole lot more.
What's up? Welcome to Marriage and More with your hosts, Sterling and Soretta Smith, where we talk about love, life, marriage, and y'all already know a whole lot more. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to tune into the show today. I'm telling you, you are in store for a treat. We have an exciting show prepared for you today. Sterling and I are in different cities, so I'm rolling solo this week. I miss you, my boo, my buddy, my bae. But he will be back next week. We're going to actually have some guys on the show next week, and Sterling's going to lead the show next week. But today I have a dynamic show in store for you, and I wanted to do this show. I don't know how many people got an opportunity to watch the Oscars the other night, and what unfolded on the Oscars the other night with Chris Rock telling a joke about Jada Pinkett being in the next G.I. Jane movie because of her shaved head. And we all saw, you know, what played out after that. And Will went up on stage and slapped Chris. And then he yelled some explicitives to him about keeping his wife's name out of his mouth. And it was a lot of emotion. It was a lot of stuff that happened. And so I went on my page and I posted that I suffer from alopecia. I have some areas in my head where the hair was, you know, completely bald. Went to a dermatologist and he told me that I had a form of alopecia because there's many forms of alopecia. And so, you know, it really triggered something in me. The joke triggered something in me. And I can only think about the millions of women around the world who suffer from some form of alopecia. I'm from Georgia, so I may be twisting it with a little twang. But the millions of women that suffer, who were triggered by that joke, who understood the displeasure of Jada Pinkett Smith when the joke was made. And, you know, we know, as I've told you, we're Christians. And so I believe the scriptures that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. And so I believe for me, the good in what played out and what happened is an opportunity to bring awareness to alopecia and bring understanding, because I was triggered by the joke, but I was even more triggered by the lack of compassion and empathy that people began to comment on my Facebook page. And I found myself there trying to defend the disease and try to get people to understand it's about more than, oh, it's just hair. Oh, it was just a joke. The mental health piece of what women go through. And so I put out a call and I asked if there's anyone who is dealing with this issue that would like to come on the show and talk about it. And lo and behold, someone messaged me and we had a conversation, and I'm going to bring her on the show now because her story, her journey in the brief moments that we talked, it was brought me to chills and tears. And so at this time, I want to bring on and introduce you to Miss Anita D. Ferris. And I'm going to let Miss Anita tell you just a little bit about herself. Miss Anita, welcome to Marriage and More. How are you this evening?
Well, hello, hello, hello. It's so great to be here. Thank you for this opportunity to be on your show and to share a little about myself and my journey of alopecia.
So I guess I want to start out by asking you to tell us, you know, when were you diagnosed, you know, Just tell your story. I just want you to share your story from beginning to end, and then we'll get into what happened at the Oscars. But more than anything, I want people to hear your story. So you have the platform.
Oh, well, thank you so much again. I thank you. It's an honor. It's a privilege, and really an opportunity to share my story. I have been dealing with alopecia for several years. To be quite honest, it really started, I noticed back in maybe 20 plus years ago. Mm. But I didn't know it was alopecia. It started off with just the thinning of my hair. You know, and I thought it was actually from maybe the chemicals. I used to wear coloring in my hair. And, of course, I had relaxer in my hair. So I just thought all of that combination was contributing thinness and that hair loss. But as years progressed, it went from that to, excuse me, it went from just thinning to my hair just actually actually coming out.
Wow.
So actually in 2012, I never forget, I went to the bathroom and I was combing my hair. It was just walls of hair was coming out in my comb.
Mm.
And it literally scared me. And I was like, oh my God, this is exactly what I said. I said, oh my God, what is happening? And it just progressed. And like the more I did, the more I seemed like used good products on my hair. It just went from one thing to the next. And then, of course, I ended up going to a dermatologist. And he diagnosed me then that I had alopecia because of the way it was coming out and the way it appeared to him. He did give me recommendations. And you know what I could do, and just as fast forward to where I am right now, this day, I am completely bald, and that became a choice of the complete baldness because my hair, I had got to the place where at the crown of my head, all of that had came out.
Mm.
And then on the left side, right side was like circular patches. And at one point, I was able to camouflage my head. So therefore, when I wore styles, it didn't look as bad. And then I got to the place where I just cut it low and wore a low hair cut style.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Then it got so bad I couldn't camouflage anymore.
Mm.
I couldn't cover it anymore outside of wearing a wig. I wore wigs for years out of style. I wore braids. I wore crochet hair. I just did different things to cover it up. A lot of my family members and close friends didn't know I suffered from alopecia because
wow.
I kept it covered.
Mm. Wow.
And I can say this, 3 weeks ago, exactly three, matter of fact, this Friday would be 4 weeks ago, I came to the decision. I said, I'm so tired of looking like this. My hair in patches and blotches, and I can't cover it up no more. I have to wear a wig. I didn't have no other choice anymore. And I just said, Lord, I'm tired of this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to do this no more.
Mm-hmm.
I said, what am I going to do? I had my own clippers, and I said, I'm just going to shave my hair. Because I couldn't deal with that part of it anymore. The covering up,
mm-hmm.
the hiding.
Mm-hmm.
And when I came to that decision, literally, I got out of my chair, went in the bathroom, got my clippers, and I began to cut my hair. As I cut what was on my head off, I just went into tears.
Wow.
I cried. I was so hurt because I said, God, I said, I prayed, I talked, I did so many things, and my hair did grow back at times, but when it grew back, it'll go back through that same stage mm-hmm. of coming out again.
Mm-hmm.
So after all of that, I'm sorry about being emotional
no,
about it.
No, no, ma'am.
And when I talk about it, it's not that it brings the hurt back.
Right.
It's the thought of what I went through.
Right.
And it is painful.
Can you
it
talk?
It does hurt.
Can you talk about that? Because, like I said, the comments that people were making, like, it's just hair. Get over it. It was just a little hair joke. And to me, the thing, you know, that I was concerned about it was that nobody cared about what I was trying to say about the pain, the mental and emotional toll that it takes on a woman, you know, losing her hair. Can you talk about the suffering in silence and
yes,
and not yes. being not you know not being able to talk about it because of what you
of the
yes ma'am
yes it is very yes ma'am it's very painful, and it was painful to the point that you walk around and you're walking in silence you're walking with the pain of it, the knowledge of how you really look, but nobody else see how you look. And the pain of the hurt of the way people are look at you, even if they knew how your head really looked. The way it's just kept, it just covered. So back to your question or the statement to address the pain. Yes, it's a mental anguish. And that's what's so painful about the whole ordeal is because it's an inward pain you experience. It's a hurt that you feel that you can't describe. You deal with the emotional part of it as a woman. To, you know, just say, well, how am I going to deal with not having hair on my head? How am I going to deal with the idea of going out in public for people to really see how I really look? So it's just a mental anguish that you can't explain. And all of the people that's closely connected to you and know about it, know what the pain that you're going through from you sharing it. On the outside, yes, everything may look okay, but the hurt on the inside is painful. And yes, jokes and remarks being made, that's very hurtful.
Now I know that you said, you know, you came to the decision, and as we're talking about, you know, Jada, the years that she had been going through this, and then she finally, you know, came and went public with it, and then, you know, she talked about her daughter shaving her head, and she just she chose to shave her head. Ayanna Pressley, who is a congresswoman I remember meeting her, and I remember, you know, she wore twist, and I wore twist, and then, you know, she started wearing wigs, and nobody thought anything of it. And she came out and did a video, and, you know, she had shaved off, you know, her hair and talked about the disease. And I remember, you know, people in Congress, people in Senate, you know, men making fun of her and mocking her. But then, you know, like you said, and like she said, and like Jada did, you made a choice. You came to a place where you accepted, you know, it is what it is. I'm beautiful. Can you talk about your journey from that place of brokenness, to that place of acceptance and wholeness? And someone made the comment, I'm not my hair. And you know what? I understood what they were trying to say. But in the beginning of the journey, that's not the story.
No, it's not.
I think people get to a place along the journey where they say, I'm not my hair, but it takes some time to get to that place.
It does.
Can you talk about that?
You are so correct about that. And at the beginning of the journey or during the journey, at some period, when you get there, you can say, I'm not my hair. But during the process, you don't feel that way. Mm. You may say it with your lips verbally, mm-hmm. but deep down inside, you don't know that yet. So to express my process, what I was experiencing caused a lot of anxiety and sadness.
Okay.
Even anger. Because I didn't understand why me, why I lose my hair like this. Because at one point I had nice, beautiful hair. And I didn't understand. But yes, the anxiety, the sadness, and guess what? It also can lead to depression. Mm. So with the anxiety, with the sadness of it, and possibly even lead to, and I say lead to because you have to really be careful not to get into a depressed state.
Right.
Because of that, I'm grateful the support group and the support system that I have or even had during that time was a great help to me. And it helped me psychologically, to deal with the effects of the condition.
Right.
But at that place that I had to get in, you can't, I hate to say it like this, you can't teach nobody how to get there.
Right.
Only thing you can do is walk through this journey and experience it to the place to you. Submit it to God and asking His help during this process and have a made up mind within yourself or loving yourself enough to know that I'm enough.
Wow. That's
so
awesome.
Once you learn that and you say, well, I'm enough and I love myself and then start looking at yourself through the eyes of the Father. When you look through God's eyes and see that you are fearfully and wonderfully made, then you can accept this is just a physical condition that is temporary and I'm beautiful anyway.
Wow.
And once you get to that place and of acceptance of that, and I'm going to tell you, I don't even realize sometimes that I don't have hair until I look in the mirror.
Yeah.
Because I have lost consciousness of that.
Wow.
Yes. So I hope I'm explaining it in a way where the listeners can understand. It's a journey. It's a walk that you may feel like you are walking alone, even though you may have a spouse, a significant other, and family and loved ones that's supporting you. But until you get to that place of contentment and knowing who you are and whose you are, you have to walk that journey out.
And you know what? That reminds me of the song. There's a song, I think it's by Elevation Worship. I believe that's who sings it. And they say, Jaira, you are enough. I will be content in every circumstance. Jaira, you are enough. And so truly, I think that's the game changer and the difference that it makes on the journey for people. And so you shared a story with me about after you had you made the decision that you were going to just shave your head completely and you went to work. Can you share that story with our listeners? Because I'm telling you, it touched me.
Oh, yes, indeed. Yes. I made that decision and it was on a Friday evening. And of course I went through the whole weekend very sad, and I did cry. It was like a grieving process that I experienced when I shaved my head. Mm-hmm. It's like, of course, it really was a loss. And I grieved, I cried the whole weekend. And I kept looking at myself in the mirror. So that morning, I work at a Christian school, Power and Grace Preparatory Academy. And I got myself ready for work that morning, and that morning I wrapped. I used my head wrap to work. And I got to school, and the principal, Principal Stallworth, when I got there, she, excuse me, have devotion with the children every morning, and she was praying. And as she prayed with them, her prayer just touched me that morning. And I told her that I wanted to talk with her when went into the office. I'm not going to go into every intricate detail, but I went into the office, and I told her I needed to speak with her. And I told her what I wanted to share with her, that I just had experienced something and I didn't know what to do. And she said, well, what is it? You know, she was so concerned, you could see it all in her eyes. And I said, I've really been going through the experience of losing my hair. And I said, this weekend, I shaved all my hair off. And I took my hand and took my head wrap off. And when I did, she had this amazing smile on her face. And at the time, I'm looking like, this lady's smiling, and I'm trying to tell her. And I'm, you know, all broken up about what I did. And she looked at me, and she said, you are so beautiful. And I just burst out into tears. And she asked me, she said, can I pray with you? And I said, yes. And she began to speak words of affirmation to me. Mm-hmm. She began to tell me how beautiful I am.
Wow.
How God made me.
Wow.
And how God was going to use my situation to be a blessing and bring healing to other people.
Wow.
And she took her hands and she laid her hand, both hands, on my head. And when she laid her hands on my head, it's almost like all the fear, the doubt, the pain, like it was just drawn out of me. I can't explain it. And she told me, she said, you take that wrap, don't put it back on your head, wrap it around your neck, and you style it because you look amazing. And I haven't worn anything on my head for the last 4 weeks.
And you look amazing, Miss Anita.
Thank you so much. Once we became friends, your smile. But it's been amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
It's been simply amazing. And can I tell you something that was so unique out of this experience at school? You know, kids are so
honest.
So, what do you call it, transparent?
They're honest.
They don't have no filter.
Yes.
So one of the little kids went into the room to give a teacher a message. And the little girl turned around and she looked at me. She said, oh, Miss Anita. She said, you look like a girl and you dress like a girl. She said, but your head is like a boy. And when she said that, I just burst out and started laughing. And guess what she said? She said, but you are so pretty.
Oh, wow.
And that just did it for me that day.
Yeah.
And of course, this journey has been a journey of acceptance. And not from other people, but for me, accepting myself.
Can you say that again, Miss Anita?
I said, this journey has been a journey of acceptance. Not acceptance from other people, but for accepting myself.
That's so powerful.
Yes.
Because I think a part of the journey and in losing the hair is the fear that people won't accept you. The fear. I have a friend who had a head full of beautiful hair, and she began to lose her hair. And I remember her crying and the depression and the anxiety and everything she went through. And losing her hair. And she said that her biggest fear was that her husband was going to leave her. And sure enough, eventually he could not, you know, he said he just could not deal with the fact that she had lost all of her hair and all of the depression and the anxiety that she was going through in losing her hair. He said he couldn't deal with it. And they ended up divorcing. So, that's sad. You know, it really is. And I ran into her some years later, and she, like you, had walked through the journey, and she had gotten to a place where she said, I love myself. I accept myself, and I'm not looking for anybody else's validation and acceptance. And so she finally got to that place where she said, I'm not my hair, you know? and she's thriving and living. Mm-hmm. And so again, you know, when the show, you know, everybody started posting on Facebook and, you know, everybody has their opinion. And I, you know, I will say this. I don't believe that violence is the way that we resolve matters and issues. So 100%, I think I know that what he did was wrong. He knows that what he did was wrong. He has apologized to the Academy, to everyone at the Academy. He has now apologized to Chris.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I don't condone violence at all, but it just seems like that's all everybody was focusing on. And then everybody wanted to, give Chris a pass because, well, he's a comedian. Someone even wrote, well, she shouldn't sit on the front row. If you sit on the front row, you can expect to be the brunt of jokes. And I believe that children, spouses, parents, people that have disabilities, sickness and disease are off limits. I understand comedy.
I do agree with that totally. And if you don't mind, if I may make this statement, after thinking about some things and even thinking on that today, my thought is people don't know what goes on behind the scene of anything.
Right.
Of anybody's life, anyone's circumstances. So even with that statement being made, that Chris made, even though he said it was just a joke, and people say it's just a joke, but they don't know the painfulness, the hurt in this, maybe even sleepless night that she may have encountered, regardless of what her lifestyle is.
Right.
Her lifestyle, yeah, it's open to the public because they have made their lives open to the public.
Right.
But the thing is, she's still human.
She's still human. Yeah.
She's still human.
Yeah.
So money don't change her humanity.
Right.
The things that she experienced and been exposed to or exposed other people to in her life don't change her from being human.
Right.
She's still hurt.
Absolutely.
And no one would like to be brought out in the forefront of a joke of a situation that's beyond their control. Alopecia is something that you cannot say, okay, alopecia is not going to affect me.
Wow.
It's not going to hit me.
Wow.
So we don't have that control. So for someone to look at it as, oh, it's just hair loss. No, it's not just hair loss.
Yeah.
But it's what's behind the hair loss.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you. Thank you for raising that point, for bringing that point out. Yeah, so it's just, like you said, at the end of the day, you know, and I tell people, rich people have issues and problems just like poor people and middle class people. The devil does not exempt, you know, the devil didn't just say, or sickness and disease just doesn't say, oh, I'm just going to attack poor people, or I'm just going to attack middle class people. I'm not going to mess with rich people. So rich people have issues, mental health issues, physical health issues, relationship issues, financial issues, just like ordinary people do. It's just like you said, their lives are more exposed and open, and they do open their lives up. But I still don't believe that just because they choose to make their lives public, or because, you know, of their stardom, that gives anyone the right to take jabs at someone that has a medical condition.
Yes,
you know,
exactly.
We've seen political leaders make fun of people that have handicaps. We've seen, you know, and just because people do it, that doesn't mean that it's right. And I think we need to stop making excuses for people. And I've been the brunt of jokes, and it caught me off guard completely, so much so that, like, the only thing I could do was laugh because I couldn't believe, you know, what the person had just said. It was just like, in my mind, I'm going, oh my God, did they just say that? And the inside of me is crying, and about to have a meltdown and a breakdown, but I know I can't. And so I laugh along. And then maybe later on at some point, I will pull the person to the side and say, hey, you know, you made that joke, but it really wasn't funny. And this is why. And so maybe had we seen it play out like that, well, not maybe, if it had played out like that, like I said, I felt like bringing Chris to the red table would have been an excellent idea because it would have raised awareness about alopecia and it would have given him an opportunity to express, for her to express, you know, how it made her feel. And to educate him and for him to hopefully at that time to have apologized and be an advocate for or a champion to bring more awareness to the disease.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's amazing you said it like that. And I say amazing. And it's because if I'm not mistaken, she actually was diagnosed back in 2018.
Right.
But when I actually saw the video of her, it was months ago.
Right.
When I actually saw it on social media.
Right.
So when I saw that, and that was months ago, I don't know how long, maybe 3 months ago, maybe, I don't know. But when I actually saw when she cut her hair and she showed the indention, because it does leave scars on your scalp.
Wow, I didn't realize that.
Yes. So she showed where she had the indention in her scalp, because before, I guess when her hair was coming out, she was losing her hair, she hadn't cut it all down low yet. So when she cut it all the way down, where you could actually see the scalp itself, she showed it. And I said, wow. And then when I cut mine 4 weeks ago, I saw mine too.
Oh, wow.
And then I could see the scar and where the areas where the hair follicles have totally been destroyed is nothing but your hair. It looks, it's shiny and smooth, where you don't even see your hair follicles.
Wow.
So I said that to say that when I actually saw that video, I tried to reach out to her because I wanted to be on the red table to talk about alopecia.
Wow.
And that was like 3 or 4 months ago.
Wow. Well, Jada, if you're listening or if anybody's listening to the show and you can get Miss Anita connected to Jada Pinkett Smith to talk about this on the red table, hey, help us out because this woman's story is phenomenal. And like I said, when I put the call out there, she answered the call. She was not ashamed or embarrassed to come on and be open and honest and transparent and share with her journey. And so I want to thank you for that. It's very brave and courageous of you. And, you know, like I said, you are absolutely beautiful.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Your smile. You have such a beautiful smile. And, you know, I hope that if there are women that are out here listening, that you will be inspired by her and, you know, reach out to her. You can reach out to her if you have questions or comments. And and she will, you know, certainly reach back out to you with any questions or comments that she has, reach back out to you with any questions or comments that you have, rather, and you know, mentor you, coach you, share a story, help you, you know, in any way that she can. I'm certain that she would do that.
And, yes, most definitely. That is that most definite thing I would love to do, to share, to be an encouragement, to help hold their hand through this journey, you know, because sometimes that's all a person needs, is someone just to walk alongside them through the process. And it makes it so much easier at times. I won't say the best, but maybe easier, knowing that someone knows how they feel. They know the hurt. They know the pain.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Well, yeah. I just want to give a few little facts about alopecia. There are three or more well-known types of alopecia. Alopecia erythopathy, and that's the most common form. And with one, when a person has this form, they have one or more coin-sized hair loss patches on the scalp or other areas of the body. Alopecia totalis, and that is total loss of the hair on the scalp. And alopecia universalis is complete hair loss, not just on the scalp, but on the face and the body as well. And currently, there's no cure. There's no cure for it. But the good news is that even when your disease is active, your hair follicles remain alive. So this means that your hair can grow back after long, prolonged periods of time if you have more than 50% hair loss. That's the good news for some people. That's not always the case for everyone. And there are a lot of factors that contribute to this this condition. It's an autoimmune disease, which means your immune system mistakes the normal cells in your body as foreign invaders, and they attack the cells. And so, you know, it's understandable that adults who have it will be concerned about the risk of passing this on to their children. But it's so complex, it's almost impossible to predict whether or not your child could develop it. In other words, if it's genetic or not. So scientists believe that there are genetic and environment factors that are needed to trigger the disease, not just simply family heredity. So a little bit of information about it. As many as 6.8 million people in the U.S. and 147 million people worldwide are affected by alopecia areata, with a lifetime risk of 2.1%. So I want to encourage listeners today to, in situations like this, you know, get the facts. I think there will be more awareness brought to this now that this transpired on the Oscars. But get the facts before you start making judgments about, oh, it's just hair loss. It's more than just hair loss. Research it. And if you know someone that has it, you know, be sensitive and compassionate and have empathy and understanding until they get to that place in their journey where Miss Anita is, where she says she's not her hair and that, you know, she's fearfully and wonderfully made, and you truly are. And I want to thank you so much, so very much for coming on and sharing your story, Miss Anita.
Yes, thank you so much, and I appreciate it. May I consummate my last statement?
Absolutely. Yes, ma'am.
I shared with someone, and I think I even shared with you when I spoke with you previously. I won't say that I won't ever wear a wig again.
Right.
But if I do, it'll be because I want to, not because I have to.
All right, now.
And
I like
that's
that.
Where I am now. If I do, it's just simply because I want to change up my jazzy, snazzy style. But if I don't, I'm still who I am. And I'm just so grateful that I don't feel like I have to hide behind it anymore. It's just so great to be free. I can't even explain it. It's just an amazing feeling on the inside to be free in my mind, in my heart, and in my spirit, and to walk around and just be me.
Absolutely. Well, yes. We are praying for Will and Jada and Chris, that there will be that the apologies that have gone forth will be accepted, and that
yes.
There will be forgiveness, and that there will be reconciliation, and that out of this, there will be conversations to bring more awareness to just this, to this condition. And also there'll be more conversations about what's appropriate, what's inappropriate, what lines should and shouldn't be crossed. And there'll be more conversations about mental health. There'll be more conversations about how we resolve conflict. and the best ways to resolve conflict. So we hope and we pray that some good, we know that some good's going to come out of this, and we're just praying for healing in our country overall, because we've been through so much these last years with COVID, and people are being challenged mentally. And things are building. And so we want to encourage people to seek counseling and therapy if you need to. And most importantly, try Jesus. I want to encourage you to try Jesus, because he has the power to heal that broken heart. He said he came to heal the brokenhearted. He came to set the captives free. He came to give sight to the blind and life and hope and all of those things. So try Jesus. Amen.
Amen to that.
Amen. Well, listen, we've got some information for you right after the show. So please stay tuned in to see how you can follow us on our Marriage and More with Sterling and Soretta. And Sterling's not here today to help me out with our marriage mantra, but as we always end the show with our marriage mantra that goes a little something like this: the more you put in your marriage, the more you get out of your marriage. Until next Wednesday, take care and be blessed.
Thank you for tuning in to the Marriage and More podcast with Sterling and Soretta Smith. Follow Sterling and Soretta on Instagram and Facebook at Marriage and More with Sterling and Soretta.
Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.